Thank you, Brother Bowder and Rebecca, for playing and leading us. It certainly is a miss to not have Josiah on the organ this morning, but it's good to know that he has survived so far the hurricane coming into Texas, and Mom and Dad are safely traveling back, probably a little bit further northern route than usual. But it's also a joy to hear you singing. What tremendous truths in a song like that. How can it be? We have no answer to the miracle of salvation through Jesus Christ other than he has done it, he has offered it, and I claim it. Hallelujah for that, isn't it? Great. Wonderful words in a hymn. If you have your Bibles, please open them to Philippians chapter 4 this morning. We're going to look at one singular verse, Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13 this morning. Probably one of the most, there's been many in Philippians, but one of the more common quoted verses. You find this verse stuck over the desk in the workplace. You find this verse in some cases, some have said, and even on the ceiling in the weight room over the bench press. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. Right? You know? Looking for that encouragement. I can do everything. God offers me superhero powers. That's not exactly what Philippians chapter 4, verse 13 is saying, but it's often quoted, it's often claimed, it's near and dear to our hearts. And we're going to unpack that verse together this morning, and certainly I pray that you will be encouraged by it today. Father in heaven, as we look at your scriptures, we look to your word, Lord, this morning. Help us to ever remember that it is the holy word of God in which we are studying and reading and listening to preaching from. Lord, I pray that if it's your will, you would use me as a simple instrument to communicate the truth of God's word. And through this message, may we leave this room today, this afternoon, encouraged, strengthened, and taught from your word today. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. What a person says is not always to be believed. Isn't that true? It is true. Just because someone speaks doesn't always mean it is truth. I flew into Des Moines International Airport. I think international is almost a little bit of an excessive title for the tiny little airport that Des Moines is. But I flew into the airport on Thursday morning, and I picked up my bag, and I went over to a counter. There was about six or seven of them there, and it was a counter in which I would talk to someone about securing a rental car. And I called earlier and made reservations, and so I go up to the counter to talk to the young man, which is very clearly labeled as I am in training on a badge. Here we go, all right? And I was in kind of a hurry. My flight was a little bit delayed, and so I was in a hurry to get to where I needed to be, but accept the circumstances and work with what we had. And so the young man dutifully steps up to the counter and says, "Can I help you today?" And I said, "Yes, I have reservations. This is my name, and I'm here to pick up a vehicle, and this type of vehicle I'm looking for." "Well, we can't guarantee any vehicles." I go, "Okay. Just curious why we need to make reservations then if you can't secure a vehicle for me." "Well, you know, I mean, it's just whatever we have." And, you know, so we went through that dialogue for a little bit. He finally found a vehicle, and never mind what the vehicle was. It was rather interesting. He ended up giving me an upgrade, so it was kind of fun to be able to experience that, little perks here and there in ministry. He says, "Well, I need you to just sign here. And it's a carbon-copied form, you know, that you initial 101 times. You know, there's no damage on the vehicle. You'll bring it back. You know, you're either waiving or accepting the insurance coverage that they offer," and so on and so forth. And he gives it to me, and we have not looked at the vehicle. We have not seen it at all. And he says, "Just sign here that there's nothing, no damage on the vehicle. Everything's fine." I said, "No, I'd kind of like to see the vehicle before I initial that there's no damage on the vehicle. I will be returning to you and be held accountable for." "Oh, no worries. We look them over." "Well, I'm sure you look them over, sir, but I would like to look over the vehicle as well before I sign for the vehicle." "Oh, I can assure you there's nothing wrong with the vehicle. It's in perfect condition. It's like brand new." Long story short, I end up going out to the vehicle, which they don't follow us out there with. Again, must be just Des Moines. And I go out there to the vehicle and find the vehicle, and you're supposed to just get in it and drive away. You take care of everything in the end. I walk around the vehicle, and I pull out my phone, which I found to be helpful, and I take pictures of scratches and dings and chips in the windshield and scrapes in the shiny black paint. I thought I'd better document these things. It reminded me of what sometimes people how sometimes people often respond to Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13. Because with that rental car agent, it became very readily apparent to me that I could not trust everything that was being said. This mint condition vehicle was covered in minimal damage all throughout. And I needed to check that out for myself. And so it made me think, you know, I can't really trust this agent or this company in this area, in this aspect. When people turn to Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13, I would submit that there are many people that read, I can do all things through Christ. And they stop and they go, seriously? All things? I can really accomplish all things through Christ? Just a little bit excessive, Paul. I know you're the apostle and whatnot, and I know this is the word of God, but maybe that's just a stretch. I don't know if I can fully believe every word that he's saying. Friends, it's through this message and through reading and studying the word of God this morning, I would tell you, standing on the authority of the word of God, that the truth for a believer is I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. When the apostle makes a statement that we see in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13, some can easily become skeptical. Wonder if this is really true. The apostle Paul, whereas he previously, remember last time together when studying Philippians, we were reminded that previously as a Pharisee, and being, for lack of better terms, paid well. Finances were not an issue in his earlier life in Saul of Tarsus, and as being a Pharisee and a teacher. Life was okay. Finances were not an issue. That was not a concern. He very likely had most everything that he needed in life. That was life beforehand. But now, as he's writing to the Philippians, we've even seen how he would even fall back on his, for a time, on his tent-making skills for support. And now, in this bivocational ministry that he once was, receiving gifts when the Lord made it possible from other supporting churches to be able to support his own work in the gospel ministry, or to be supported in that way, he now finds himself incarcerated, being held captive against charges that were not wrong, biblically speaking, not knowing what his outcome could be or would be, up into even including the possibility of being executed for the crimes that were said he had committed in preaching against the Jewish traditions and preaching Christ. He was now in the position of a prisoner, and he was in need. And when the Philippians sent Paul help and relief in this position of poverty and need that he was in, they did not find him discouraged or defeated. They didn't. They found him, Epaphroditus found him in another position. It wasn't that of being defeated and wallowing in self-despair. Instead, they found a man who, although was in need, was victorious in the Lord's work and was rejoicing and praising God even in the position and the stage and life that he was in. Paul, a once wealthy Pharisee, who has learned to be content in the midst of poverty, shared his secret with the believers. And we looked at that last time, didn't we? Whatever the situation, it doesn't matter, Paul would communicate. This is what he was teaching in context of the passage of Philippians chapter 4. Whatever the state, whatever it is, it doesn't matter because I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. And this is the position, this is the life and the attitude and the heart that Paul was found to be in the midst of these trying circumstances. Now, how can Paul say, back in chapter 3, in verses 3 through 4, how can Paul once previously say, I have no confidence in the flesh? This is what he taught. He doesn't have confidence in his own abilities, in his own flesh. And on the other hand, say something like this, I can do all things through Christ. Doesn't it seem to kind of contradict itself on the surface level? Jesus teaches in John chapter 15, verse 5, if you want to flip over there and follow along. John chapter 15, verse 5, Jesus teaches that without him, listen, we can do nothing. Without him, we have no ability to accomplish anything. Jesus teaches and says in that passage, I am the vine, and ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. Here's the key. For without me, ye can do nothing. Without Christ, you can accomplish nothing for God's glory. This is the testimony of Paul, and this is what he's teaching. And so in Philippians, Paul is not boasting in his abilities in verse 13 of chapter 4. This isn't a prideful boasting by saying, I can do all things. Rather, he is recognizing that through Christ, he can do all things. Through Christ, he could do all things. This is what Paul is teaching now. He's recognizing that Christ is his strength. Christ is the ability that is given to him, the power of Christ. Paul says elsewhere in Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20, he says, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth within me, liveth in me. So let's find the answer to the question that some may have. How can this be true? How can this be true that I can do all things? Seriously. Really, Paul? Really, Pastor? Can I really do all things? Well, firstly, let's be reminded of some very well-known incidents, experiences in the Old Testament. Let's go on a little bit of a field trip this morning. Let's look to the Old Testament and see how God's strength was displayed through his children in the Old Testament. And let's look at several of these. The first is in Genesis. Let's go back to the very beginning, Genesis, and be reminded of how God has worked incredibly through the years and through his saints. Turn there with me, please. Genesis chapter 17. Who is being spoken of in chapter 17 of Genesis? Abraham. Abraham is. Down through the ages, God's children have found it to be true that there is nothing God cannot do through them. Let me remind you of a few of these. Firstly, beginning with Abraham in Genesis chapter 17. If you look at verses 15 and 16, says this, And God said unto Abraham, As for Sarai, thy wife, thou shalt not call her name Sarai, but Sarah shall be her name. And I will bless her, and give thee a son also of her. Yea, I will bless her, and she shall be a mother of nations. Kings of people shall be of her. Do you know the catch here on this? Do you remember what was so interesting about this? You remember it. It was several things that kept this from, humanly speaking, being possible. Keep your finger in Genesis, and if you turn over to Hebrews, we're reminded of humanly speaking, what was so impossible about Sarah being able to bring forth a child, about Abraham being able to take part in this. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 11 and 12 reminds us of this account of what's going on in Genesis. Through faith also, Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithfully who had promised. Therefore sprang there even of one, and him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky, and a multitude as the sand which is by the seashore, innumerable. Sarah was past childbearing age. She was past the age in life which anybody would say, yes, you're capable of being able to conceive a child. That was the first problem. The second problem was Abraham himself, her husband, was advanced in years and unable to produce children in and of himself, physically speaking and physiologically, biologically speaking. And so you have these two senior citizens, these older folks that wanted a child for themselves and desired this, and God promised this to them, and it even brought laughter into the family when God says that he would do this. And yet, we see, notice what God did not say to Abraham and Sarah. God is not recorded as saying, you will produce a child. This is not the recording of what God said to Abraham and Sarah. Rather, what God said was, I will give Sarah a child. Friends, there is a magnificent difference between those two phrases. It is not what Sarah and Abraham were able to accomplish. It is what God accomplished through them because of their faith and trust in him and acknowledging his strength and ability through them as willing instruments. You remember Abraham's response back in Genesis chapter 17, and verses 17, 18, and 19. You remember his response? Then Abraham fell upon his face and laughed and said in his heart, shall a child be born unto him that is 100 years old? And shall Sarah, that is 90 years old, bear? And Abraham said unto God, oh, that Ishmael might live before thee. And God said, Sarah, thy wife, shall bear thee a son indeed, and thou shalt call his name Isaac. And I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant, and with his seed after him. What happened next? What happened next after this? Turn over to Genesis chapter 21. Skip ahead and we continue to see what's going on here. Abraham then chose to believe God in all of his ability. Genesis chapter 21 and verses 1 and 2. And the Lord visited Sarah, and as he had said, and the Lord did unto Sarah as he had spoken. By the way, friends, God follows through with what he says he will do. And if he says it, you can trust that he will accomplish it. For Sarah conceived and bare Abraham a son in his old age at the set time of which God had spoken to him. What a story to tell. Can you imagine telling your children? Oh, by the way, I was in triple digits, when you were born. Can you imagine that today? Can you imagine that then? Abraham understood how ridiculous this sounded to his ears. But our marvelous God can accomplish much when our trust and when our faith is in him. Christ is our strength. What happened here was God working in Abraham and in Sarah, in their lives and in their hearts. And Abraham could, it could be said this, Abraham could probably testify the same that Paul is saying in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13. Abraham and Sarah could possibly say, and the truth is that, I can do all things through God which strengtheneth me. This is the testimony of Abraham and Sarah. Their strength, their ability came from God. There's another account of this in Exodus chapter 3. Turn over to Exodus chapter 3. We're going to do this in every book of the Bible, by the way. All 66. No, I'm kidding. We're not going to go through all 66 books this morning. Just several. But turn over to another account. Let's be reminded and be renewed and rejoice in how God works in marvelous ways. Exodus chapter 3. Millions of God's people, hundreds of thousands of God's people were bound in Egyptian slavery. They were held in captivity. Over 2 million of them. These Israelites were held in captivity, and God pulled Moses aside and he spoke to him through a burning bush. Do you remember that? I've got the picture in my head from the flannel graph in Sunday school so many years ago. The burning bush. God chose to spoke to Moses. He called him aside. Exodus chapter 3, verses 7. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people. God says, I see this. Remember, God sees all things. He's omniscient. He's all-knowing. He sees all the afflictions of his children. He recognizes that, and he speaks to Moses. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people which are in Egypt, and have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. Verse 10, come now therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. God was calling Moses out to be a leader of the people of Israel, the Israelites, who were held in captivity, to go to the highest authority of those that were holding them in slavery. And, oh, and by the way, Mr. Pharaoh, let my people go. Let our people go. You think Moses was too excited about doing that? You think he was just jumping up and down? Oh, good, I get to go see Pharaoh. This is going to be exciting. And by the way, I'm pretty good at speaking, so I'm sure I can take care of this. That is absolutely not the response of Moses. Here was an impossible task put before him. And Moses knew he could not convince Pharaoh on his own ability. Moses knew that he could not convince Pharaoh to release the children of Israel. He knew he was incapable of leading those people in and through the wilderness to the promised land. I am not capable of doing this, would be the response of Moses. And Moses began to list his objections and inabilities to God, remember? Moses began to object and fear of man, and he began, his knees began to buckle and shake as he would say, I don't know how. I can't speak well. I have not been trained to do this. I am not a diplomat. I can't speak for these people. They won't respect me. He won't listen to me. He'll probably kill me in the process. I can't do this, God. Then God, in effect, answered Moses by telling him, Moses, you're not listening to me. You did not hear me, Moses. You did not hear what I told you. Listen to me when I say this. I didn't say you were going to do this, Moses. I did not say that you were going to free my children, my nation. I said I was going to do it through you. I have called you to faithfully obey me so I could accomplish marvelous things through you who is not capable. Moses was God's instrument. And Moses, in effect, could say what Paul is saying in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13. I can do all things through God which strengtheneth me. Do you remember a little bit later on, Moses had passed away now. Someone else, younger than him, was called up to lead by the name of Joshua. You remember this well. Joshua, later on, after Moses had died, received the mantle of responsibility. Ooh, nervous, scared. Am I going to do well? Am I going to do right? I can't do this. I don't have the ability. God had commanded Joshua to go up against Jericho, the greatest, most formidable foe in the land of Canaan, to go up against the great and mighty walls protecting the city of Jericho. And Joshua could have said, God, I didn't sign up for this. I've been drafted. I didn't go out seeking this leadership. I didn't stand up and say, oh, send me, I'll lead the people. I'm a great warrior. These are not things that Joshua said. Joshua did not say, I can't take Jericho. Or excuse me, he could have said, I can't take Jericho. I can't accomplish this. We're going to die in the process. These are things that Joshua did not say. But God, again, in effect, said to Joshua and communicated to him, Joshua, I didn't ask you to do it. I didn't set up this situation. I did not allow this to happen so that Joshua could be pinned with a great medal and be known for accomplishing something in his own power. Joshua, I asked you to let me do it through you. I want you to obey me so that I may be magnified and glorified. So, Joshua could echo the same truths that Paul is saying later on, many years later, in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13, I can do all things through God which strengtheneth me. There's another person, Jeremiah. Do you remember this? Turn to Jeremiah, please. Jeremiah chapter 1. Jeremiah chapter 1 and verses 4 through 5, we see this was a man who God used to be his mouthpiece to a godless nation, an apostate generation, a time when those had turned from God. And in Jeremiah chapter 1, verses 4 and 5, we read, "Then the word of the Lord came unto me, saying," this is Jeremiah speaking, "Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee. And I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations." Jeremiah is testifying to what God has called him to do. Been ordained to be a prophet to the nations. This is what Jeremiah is saying. And then we look down at verse 6. "Then said I, Ah, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I'm a child. I cannot accomplish this. I'm completely inability. I don't have the speaking ability to do this. Nobody will respect me. I am too young. I don't know enough. Surely you meant to ask someone else." We see a man faced with a frightfully impossible task. As Jeremiah says, "I can't do it, God." And God responded in verses 8 and 9. Chapter 1, Jeremiah 8 and 9. "Be not afraid of their faces, for I am with thee to deliver thee, saith the Lord. Then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth. And the Lord said unto me, Behold, I have put my words in thy mouth." His words, God's words, placed in the mouth of a willing servant, Jeremiah the prophet, to speak to this nation. God did not say, "Jeremiah, you do this. You accomplish this." What God was saying and using of Jeremiah was, "Let me do this through you. I will accomplish this through you." So Jeremiah, as well as Joshua and Moses and Abraham, could as well say and testify, "I can do all things through God, which strengtheneth me to accomplish his will." We go over to the New Testament now, back to Philippians in our passage. We look at the Apostle Paul, and you think back on the missionary journeys that he had been on. It was during his second missionary journey that he met a Macedonian man while in Troas. While in Troas. It was a Macedonian man in Troas saying, "Come back to Macedonia. We need help." And he's asking him to come back and help him. But Paul felt incompetent. He felt unable to accomplish the task of spreading the gospel to the Greeks. He felt totally incompetent in bringing the gospel to the land of Greece. And in fact, Paul was saying in response to his need and God's leading through a man to call him to come and help, Paul felt like he could not accomplish this. "I can't do it. I'm not able to do this. This is too hard. God, you're asking too much of me. I've had it to here. This is my limit. I can't accomplish what you're doing. I can't. I can't do it, God." Maybe you have been there. Maybe you have said this to God. Maybe you're there today. "I can't accomplish this. You're asking too much. This surely can't be what God wants for me. I don't have the strength. I don't have the ability." Well, in Paul's life, eventually, though, praise God, and to the glory of God, Paul's testimony was, "God, I can do it. I can do it because you strengthened me to accomplish this. I'm not sufficient," was Paul's testimony. "I in myself am not capable of this. But I'll depend totally on you, Lord, to do the work through me." Friends, this goes for all areas of life. It may be as simple as young people preparing for a test in school. Adults, this may be as serious as preparing for an interview, knowing that I don't interview well. I don't know how to answer those questions. I don't know how to accomplish this. And friends, it's in those moments that you may be forgetting that it is not you that accomplishes these things, but it is Christ working through us to accomplish his will and for his glory. and he will strengthen us for the task. Paul then in dependence on God for the ability, as you remember, in his second missionary journey, he made his way all over Macedonia, over Philippi, Thessalonica, Berea, and then down to Athens and Corinth, and all the while leaving behind local churches, assemblies, and local congregations of believers. This is what God was accomplishing through a willing servant, a human instrument, the Apostle Paul. And so Paul, now we find him saying in chapter 4 of Philippians, in verse 13, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. This is where his strength came from. This is where his joy rested. This is where his confidence was placed, in the strength and the ability of Christ working through him. So this morning, you're sitting here. You have your Bibles open. You see Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13. And here's a question that may be in your head this morning. What can I accomplish? What can I do? What is it that I can accomplish, the strength and the power of Christ? You remember in Hebrews chapter 11, it is recorded of what faith in God sets one free to do. A list of those who have placed their faith in God and faithfully obeyed their Creator, the Creator. And God accomplished incredible things through these saints throughout the history of time. These are the records in Hebrews chapter 11, if we were to go there. These are the records of God working as his people trusted him. Listen, if Jesus Christ, who dwells within me, who dwells within you as a believer, if Jesus Christ dwells within us and he controls our minds, he controls our hearts, he controls the functions of our body, our hands, our mouth, our tongue, our lips, where we go, what we do, what we say, if we are living under yielding of the Spirit's control in our lives, he can do anything through me that he wills. God can accomplish anything through me if he wills it to be. You can live a victorious life over sin. That's not some fast commercial or slogan or saying that just comes and goes. That is the very truth of God's word. You can live victoriously over sin. You can live joyfully in this life. Because like the saints recorded in, or recorded of the saints in the Bible, you and me too can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth you. Understanding that Christ is a source of your strength places you well on your way to, as our theme this year has been, and all through Philippians, joyful living for the glory of God. You want to experience a joyful life. You want to experience the joys that are yours through salvation. Understand that your strength and your abilities come through the power of Jesus Christ, and that he will accomplish his will through you when we are obediently yielding to his leading. And so as a child of God, as I've said and repeated a number of times this morning, you are able to do anything Christ wills as he empowers us to do. Paul had peaceful contentment. This is the state he was found in. While waiting prosecution and possibly even death, he had peaceful contentment because his strength was Jesus Christ. Not focused and rested in his ability to change and manipulate the circumstances around him for his good, but because his strength lied in Jesus Christ. So, could the apostle literally mean, I can do all things? The answer is yes. Yes, certainly. Paul can do all things which were God's will for him, and the same is for you and me as a believer. God will, this is important to remember, because so many take out of context this verse. This passage is looked at as almost God, you know, appoints to some sort of superhero power, and I have the strength to do things that nobody else can, this inhuman power. Well, let me tell you, this power is inhuman. But it's not for the power and ability for us to accomplish necessarily all the wants and desires that we have. The heart may deceive us in that, but it's to accomplish His will that God gives us the strength for. By the way, this is important to remember. God will never call you to accomplish a task. I truly believe this. God will never call you to accomplish a task that He has for you without giving and providing to you the necessary grace and strength to accomplish His will. So this morning, are you struggling to trust God for strength? Have you found yourself not following God's leading because you're afraid? Because you feel like you are incapable of accomplishing the task in which God has called you to? Remember, you can do all things through Christ. He is our source of strength. Trust Him today and experience the strength that can only be known by the believer, the one who has placed our faith in Jesus Christ for salvation, and trusts Almighty God for the strength that He provides each one of us. Father, as we close this time together, Lord, what a tremendous, miraculous truth it is to experience the strength that is provided to each one of your children. Lord, I believe that you are, in some cases, almost waiting for us to trust you so you can embolden and empower us to accomplish your will. And Lord, that needs to happen first. We recognize that. There needs to be faith and trust in you first. What a tremendous, tremendous testimony it is for us that we have before us this opportunity to live lives in faith and trust to you for the strength that you promised to provide to accomplish the will and the things that you have called us to accomplish, to do. Use us, Lord, I ask, please. Use this congregation. Use this local church, Calvary Baptist Church, for your glory. May the community around us see that we are strengthened and emboldened by the power that is offered to us and given to us. Strengthen those today who may be weak. Strengthen those today who may be afraid. I pray that they would turn to you now and trust you for the strength to accomplish your will. It's in Jesus' name we pray.